It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome aboard President Trump, touching on a litany of global hotspots during his yearly address to the UN General Assembly today.
If you want freedom, take pride in your country. If you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. And if you want peace, love your nation.
During the half-hour speech, Mr. Trump spoke about the need for national renewal and warned against the rise of globalism.
The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots.
He called out Iran and China for being bad actors on the world stage and pointed to the humanitarian crisis in Venezuela as proof positive that socialism is evil.
It's the wrecker of nations and destroyer of societies. In the last century, socialism and communism killed 100 million people.
The president said Kim Jong-un must denuke in North Korea and the Taliban must disarm in Afghanistan. On the issue of illegal immigration, he said open borders only serve to empower ruthless criminal cartels. We'll have more on the president's big speech at the UN later in the broadcast. Other news today, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will be huddling with House Democrats at 4 o'clock this afternoon. They are discussing whether to begin impeachment proceedings against the president because of that phone call he made to the leader of Ukraine back in July. Political analyst Leonard Steinhardt.
What the Democrats will argue is that the president pressured another country to interfere in our elections, to help him politically, and potentially to hold that country and its aid hostage till they actually do it.
The Dems want to know if Trump threatened to cut off aid to Ukraine if it did not dig up dirt on former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter. Steve Golan is a political scientist at Texas A&M.
There is a question of whether he was tying that aid directly to an investigation of Joe Biden.
Biden's son was paid $50,000 a month by a Ukrainian energy company. Trump's VP, Mike Pence, says the wrongdoing lies with the Bidens, not the president.
Vice President Biden admitted to on camera in January of 2018. He said to Ukrainian officials that you will not get over $1 billion in American aid unless you fire a prosecutor who just happened to be investigating a company that Vice President Biden's son was on the very board of.
Charlie Hurt with the Washington Times says the push to impeach is a risky move.
They come up with this Ukrainian thing about Trump strong-arming the Ukrainian government for some favors or something, and then it turns out what? It turns out he didn't do it. Joe Biden did it.
We'll see how this thing unravels. Again, House Democrats will huddle today at 4 p.m. Breaking news out of Britain today, and it's a setback for Boris Johnson's Brexit plan. The UK Supreme Court says the Prime Minister cannot suspend Parliament.
Parliament has not been prorogued. This is the unanimous judgment of all 11 justices.
It is a stunning setback for Britain's pro-Brexit Prime Minister, who's currently 5 time zones away from London at the UN General Assembly meeting right now with President Trump in New York. Parliament will reconvene tomorrow. A U.S. Army soldier under arrest in alleged terror plot. The feds say the 24-year-old private first class posted bomb-making instructions on Facebook in an online chat room. He told an FBI informant that he wanted to kill members of the far-left group Antifa. The soldier accused of attempting to target the headquarters of CNN with a car bomb. The U.S. Navy investigating a slew of suicides at the Pentagon. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
The Navy Times is reporting the suicides of 4 sailors assigned to the aircraft carrier George H.W. Bush. 2 of the suicides on the same day this month, though none occurred on the carrier. Suicides have been increasing steadily in the Navy since 2016.
On a lighter note, top movie honors on its way to actor Tom Hanks.
My name's Forrest Gump. People call me Forrest Gump.
The Hollywood Foreign Press Association says the man who brought so many lovable characters to life will receive this year's Cecil B. DeMille Award at the Golden Globes.
You are a toy!
Two-time Oscar winner cited for 3 decades of captivating audiences with rich and playful characters.
One of the best there is, correspondent Deborah Rodriguez. Still to come on the Noon Report, home explosion today, Ontario County. A big vote also underway today in Corning, New York. And what caused that hazmat accident yesterday near Binghamton? We'll talk about that after this.
Good afternoon to all. As high pressure builds into the region, we can look forward to some sun at times this afternoon. Stars tonight and a lot of sunshine for tomorrow. I'll be back with forecast details in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin, thank you very much. At the Weather Center, here's what's going on where you live. Across New York and Pennsylvania, a home exploded early this morning. The town of Richmond, New York, Ontario County. 2 elderly inhabitants were killed. That blast happened around 4:30 on Quail Road near Route 20A. The impact could be felt for miles away. Alyssa Watson lives nearby.
I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. There was a massive explosion. It shook the entire house. I was absolutely terrified. This is my neighbor, and I called her. I didn't know what was going on, and she actually said, "Look outside. The sky is red." And I ran outside, and I'm like, oh, my God, my neighbor's house is on fire.
Still no word on what caused the explosion. 8 volunteer fire departments responded. Survivors of clergy abuse are closely watching the Catholic Diocese of Rochester after it became the first in New York to file for bankruptcy.
This week, survivors of clergy abuse will make up a committee that will determine the diocese's assets in order to compensate victims. 7 survivors will be chosen to oversee the process. Rochester's diocese filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy less than 2 weeks ago, and other dioceses contemplating the same action will be watching to see what happens in Rochester.
Because what happens here in Rochester will likely set a precedent, particularly in Catholic bankruptcies, throughout the state and beyond the state.
Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf is putting pressure on state lawmakers to pass gun control legislation. He wants measures that will keep guns away from dangerous individuals. The governor says he's disappointed that lawmakers have failed to act on what he calls common sense gun safety bills. Wolf says there is widespread consensus from the public for universal background checks. An effort afoot in New York to ban gun raffles. Paul McQuillan with Stop the Violence supports the measure.
I'm not anti-gun, but enough is enough. I mean, how many guns do you have to have?
Western New York State Senator Rob Ort says gun raffles raise revenue that's essential to organizations like volunteer fire departments.
These are fundraisers for groups that are very often struggling to pay the bills and struggling to exist.
He adds it's not true that gun raffles are open to anybody, regardless of age.
You don't walk into a catering venue and walk out owning a firearm.
But gun control activists argue gun raffles create more problems than they solve.
We have to find things to replace guns, you know. Instead of a gun raffle, you know, maybe we could give away bikes.
The effort to ban gun raffles was introduced by a Long Island Democrat last winter. Police are releasing more information today about that hazmat incident Monday morning on Interstate 88 north of Binghamton. The driver of a big rig carrying compressed natural gas was killed when his vehicle flipped over while trying to avoid a couple of deer in the road. Broome County Sheriff David Harder.
The story is that what we've learned so far is that he was trying to avoid 2 deer and lost control of the vehicle that flipped on its side.
The victim identified as 52-year-old Jeffrey Lynn of Halstead, Pennsylvania. 80 homes in the area had to be evacuated. Mike Ponticillo with the Broome County Office of Emergency Management.
Natural gas is very, very flammable. So there's a quarter-mile radius evacuation zone as safety in case there was any kind of fire explosion that happened.
Hazmat crews were on the scene for several hours after the incident. Local fire stations served as evacuation centers for displaced residents until the all-clear was given. The Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection is conducting mosquito control operations in parts of Erie County. That is where Eastern Equine Encephalitis, or Triple E, has been found. The fatal infection is also tested positive in Monroe and Carbon counties. Dr. Pete Ender with St. Luke's Hospital in Monroe County says there are some warning signs to watch out for.
It involves things like even a more persistent high fever, a more severe headache, the development of confusion, sleepiness, some people go into a coma and may have seizures.
Triple E is fatal about 30% of the time. The disease has been found in birds and horses and is usually transmitted by mosquitoes. The rare illness causes inflammation of the brain and has already killed 7 people across the country. New York and Pennsylvania are 2 of the best states to be a teacher in. According to WalletHub, the Commonwealth ranks 3rd overall with the 2nd highest annual teacher salary, and the Empire State ranks 10th overall with one of the best average teacher salaries and one of the lowest teacher turnover rates. Voters in the Corning Painted Post School District head to the polls today. They're deciding a nearly $90 million capital improvement project. Superintendent Mike Janolski says this project has been a decade in the making.
We're renovating our 50-year pool at the high school, which is desperately needed. There hasn't been a lot of renovation to that space since it was built in 1970. New tennis courts, which are near failure and they're similar age.
The capital improvement project also includes major upgrades to several of the district's elementary schools. Polls open until 8 tonight in Corning, New York. Activists are hoping that hemp becomes a cash cow for Pennsylvania's struggling agriculture industry. Democratic Representative Mike Sterlo.
It really is something that's worth exploring. Now that it has been decriminalized, it allows the opportunity for farmers in the state of Pennsylvania to really start looking at a crop that can make them money and sustain their operations.
Hemp can be grown by farmers who get permits through the state ag department. Hemp grower Steve Bannon.
Farmers simply don't make enough based on the value of their hemp product. Hemp is a once in a generation or maybe once in multiple generations. It has the potential to change that.
This year, Pennsylvania farmers have received over 300 permits to grow hemp at 800 locations. A North Carolina-based company is investing $1 billion into 500,000 square foot facility located in Oneida County, New York. Cree Incorporated is building the plant near Utica. It's expected to employ more than 600 people by the year 2022. This plant will connect SUNY students with jobs at the facility. Workers will be helping to develop the technology that's used to power electric vehicles. A solar farm in Norwich, New York is now open for business. One of the largest solar farms in the state, covering a wide swath of Chenango County. Here's project manager Noah Siegel.
This farm is 79 acres total. We've got over 52,000 panels here, and it's going to produce enough electricity for over 2,000 homes, and it's going to be here for decades to come.
Once the solar farm is electrified, all NYSEG customers who subscribe to the farm will start saving money on renewable energy. Pennsylvania politicians are pursuing legislation to get financial literacy courses into public schools. A Senate bill approved this week says any student who successfully completes a high school course in personal finance would be allowed to apply up to 1 credit toward their high school graduation. The bill's sponsor, Republican Dan Laughlin of Erie County, says high school courses in personal finance help young people acquire the knowledge that's necessary to make wise financial choices as adults. And the Buffalo area high school girls soccer team has been forced to cancel the rest of its season. Family Life's Dee Haley has that story.
The Williamsville East girls varsity soccer team is forfeiting the remainder of the season after violating the Williamsville School District's interscholastic athletic contract. According to the district, an internal investigation discovered 13 girls on the team violated the code of conduct. The district did not specify what the students did in violation, but since 13 of the 21 team members were suspended, the school does not have a full team that could play for the rest of the season. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
All right, Dee, it's 15 past the hour. Sports next, the 2-minute drill with Sonny Delphiette.
Yeah, it was the ha-ha Clinton Dix show last night in D.C.
Intercepted! That is ha-ha Clinton
Dix a year ago here in D.C. and now into the end zone here in D.C.
Clinton Dix with that pick six added another interception. Dub Bears beat the Redskins 31-15. Clinton Dix used to play for Washington and said,
"You know, this is my former team. I have a lot of guys on that team that I love, that I have great relationships with. So anytime you get a chance to come compete against your, you know, your former team, man, it's always a little extra on the cake."
Chicago improves to 2-1. The Skins fall to 0-3. In Flushing, ouch, Marlins doubled up the Mets 8-4. The Mets 5 games behind Milwaukee for the second National League wild card with only 6 to play. Mets starter and loser Steven Matz.
Definitely difficult, but you know, we've been down before, and you know, this team has showed a lot of fight this season. I think that's what we're going to do right to the end. You know, unfortunately, I wasn't able to pick up the guys tonight.
Also, ouch, in D.C., Nationals crushed the Phillies 7-2. The Phillies have lost 4 of 5, but still holding on to those postseason hopes. Gabe Kapler.
I have zero doubts about our guys pushing hard every single game. And as long as we are still in this thing, we're going to act like we're still in it. We're going to keep fighting. Again, come out tomorrow, win a couple of games, and you never know what could happen.
No playoffs this year for the Blue Jays or the Orioles, but what a game in Toronto. Bottom of the 15th inning, Anthony Alford.
Swinging a drive, and this is going to win it. Anthony Alford has walked off the Orioles.
That's his first career home run, a walk-off 11-10 win.
Honestly, you never know when it'll happen again, so I was really just trying to enjoy the moment. And every time I get a chance to be in between the lines, I just try to have fun and help the team win.
And the Royals looking for a new manager for the first time in a decade. Ned Yost, who managed the team to the 2015 World Series Championship, announced he's retiring at the end of the year. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, Dems talk impeachment today, Trump at the UN, and a closer look at homelessness in California.
The sexual revolution has managed to detach sex from marriage, marriage from children, and even children from sex. What could go wrong? Well, ask this mother from Illinois. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. This story has everything. Reproductive technology? Check. Same-sex union? Check. Autism? Check. Lawsuits? Check. The assumption that a child product of reproductive technology that someone paid for is defective? Check. In fact, I'm not sure I've seen a story in the last decade that more definitively proves what we often say around the Colson Center. Ideas have consequences. Bad ideas have victims. A recent Washington Post article tells of an Illinois woman who has struggled to raise her 2 children, now 6 and 7-year-old boys. Both have autism. But this story isn't about this day-to-day struggle she has dealing with the challenges of being a parent of children with autism. It's about why the boys are autistic in the first place. You see, both of her sons were conceived by sperm donation from the same nameless donor, donor H898. This woman chose artificial insemination because her female partner, well, could not impregnate her. In other words, after having chosen a sterile union, she wished to have children. And this story goes on. While researching ways to help her sons, the woman discovered that they had at least a dozen siblings who were also diagnosed with autism and also conceived via the same sperm donor. Some of these children, in fact, suffer from additional neurological and cognitive disorders like ADHD, epilepsy, and various mood disorders. A genetic counselor explained what should be obvious, that such results with so many children were unlikely to be coincidences and very likely to be the responsibility of that single sperm donor. Upon further investigation, the Illinois mom discovered that almost everything she was told about donor H898 was a lie. He didn't have a master's degree. He never even graduated from college. His supposed clean bill of health neglected to mention that he had been diagnosed with ADHD and was schooled in an institution for those with learning and emotional difficulties. In other words, after choosing to conceive a child with someone she'd never met, she was shocked to learn she didn't have the whole picture about him. After complaints to the sperm bank and government regulators came up empty, the woman filed a suit against the sperm bank. They chose to settle out of court for $250,000. In the meantime, the woman lost her job, her home, and her partner. Oh, and sperm banks continue to sell donor H898 sperm. In other words, an industry that treats children as a commodity to be ordered and attained by consumers who buy them continues to treat children as a commodity to be ordered and attained by consumers who buy them. Look, few bad ideas have left more victims in their wake than the ideas of the sexual revolution. From the beginning, the sexual revolution has peddled lies to women about what will bring them freedom, equality, and happiness, while at the same time turning children into social experiments. In fact, the foundational idea of the sexual revolution is this: sex, marriage, and children can be separated from each other. The consequences of that idea have been devastating, especially for women and children. Once males were untethered from marriage, they were untethered from sexual responsibility. Women were promised the same freedom, but that never materialized. But still, the kids have paid the highest price. The foundational lie of the sexual revolution is this: the kids will be fine. It's a lie that's taken various forms, like, well, kids need happy parents, not married ones, and kids don't need a mom and a dad, they just need loving parents, as if men and women were fully interchangeable. Well, as this poor mother in Illinois has found out, the kids aren't fine. They're part of a grand social experiment conducted since the 1960s. Take our most important and basic responsibility to care for the next generation, and then repudiate the very ideas and the institutions that make such care possible, and then see what happens. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Let's check weather where you live next. All right, Kevin Williams, the weather authority, as he's known around these here parts. Thank you very much. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Here's what's happening Tuesday afternoon, the 24th of September. President Trump touching on Iran, China, North Korea during a half-hour speech to the UN General Assembly today.
America knows that while anyone can make war, only the most courageous can choose peace.
He told the world body the United States has the best military anywhere on the planet, and hopefully we'll never have to prove it.
The United States does not seek conflict with any other nation. We desire peace, cooperation, and mutual gain with all. But I will never fail to defend America's interests.
The commander-in-chief expressing the need for national renewal, and he warned against the rise of globalism. Mr. Trump is confident that he is in the clear regarding that controversial phone call made to the president of Ukraine over the summer, Utah Republican Mitt Romney.
Given the seriousness of the allegations, it's very important that the transcript and potentially as well the whistleblower come forward.
Democrats, meantime, seem ready to pounce. They're huddling today with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to talk impeachment.
The president doesn't deny he discussed an investigation of Joe and Hunter Biden with the president of Ukraine.
We're supporting a country. We want to make sure that country is honest. It's very important to talk about corruption.
But Mr. Trump insists he never demanded an investigation in exchange for U.S. aid.
When you see the call, when you see it, I hope you see it, frankly, you will find out that I did not do that at all.
As Democrats' anger grows, the president accuses his critics of a double standard.
If a Republican ever said what Joe Biden said, they'd be getting the electric chair by right now.
Stephen Portnoy, New York.
Britain's new prime minister suffering a Brexit setback today. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
Britain's Supreme Court has just unanimously ruled that Boris Johnson's decision to suspend Parliament for most of the run-up to next month's Brexit deadline was unlawful. Opposition Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn.
I invite Boris Johnson in the historic words to consider his position.
He's not the only one suggesting Johnson may have to resign, especially if, as it appears, he lied to the Queen about why he needed her to approve Parliament's suspension.
Parliament will reconvene tomorrow. Lockheed Martin is building at least six space shuttles as NASA works to meet the president's goal of returning mankind to the moon. The company winning a $4.6 billion contract. The first three of these shuttles will make up the fleet of NASA's Artemis program, which aims to return astronauts to the moon by 2024. And LA City Council considering a plan today to target areas that many homeless people call home.
Everyone admits it's a major problem.
We have about 30,000 people that will spend the night on our streets.
That's Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. LA's homeless problem has come under a microscope in recent weeks, with even President Trump commenting.
Look at Los Angeles with the tents and the horrible, disgusting conditions.
The new controversial proposal would put one quarter of LA off limits, including areas adjacent to schools, parks, and popular gathering spots like Staples Center and Hollywood Boulevard.
Folks who are complaining, they don't like they have to see it. Well, there's people who have to live it.
Jed Perriott is an advocate for the homeless.
If you want to live in L.A., you're going to have to see the poverty that our policymakers have created.
But those who live or do business near large homeless sidewalk settlements say their neighborhoods are being negatively impacted.
There's no reason we should have to have an encampment on our front door or across the street.
If the new proposal goes into effect, this woman who lives in a park will be forced out.
And to go where? Where are we supposed to go?
Lots of questions, but no quick, simple solutions.
Correspondent Steve Futterman. 25 past the hour, this is the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Alan Scott from State College, Pennsylvania. He's the founder of Found and Favored Ministries, a ministry that uses music to reach a hurting world. How did this whole endeavor get started, Alan? And more importantly, I guess, why?
I guess I'll start with the why. I'm an ex-drug addict. You know, God set me free 17 years ago. In 2012, I was doing a radio tour with a guy named Paul Balash, and he heard me share my story about 17 times in a week. And he asked me, he said, hey, have you ever thought of, taking your story into rehabs, prisons, and he specifically mentioned the Salvation Army. And when I shared my story, and it was amazing to see how it impacted the guys that were there. That turned in that year to maybe 12 or 15 different events. We began to scale them up, and I began to bring my band and a team of people, and that turned into doing events all over the country in rehabs and prisons across the country. And then we also go into churches in areas that have been really hit hard by the drug epidemic.
Sure. Yeah.
And we'll go into these areas and we'll partner with churches, and then we'll also partner with local ministries that are on the ground level, ministries that help people walk free from drug addiction, and we'll bring them all together, and we'll network. You know, people are coming to these events from different rehabs, and you know, people are coming in off the street, and we'll get them plugged into these local ministries.
Yeah. Well, you guys must be really busy with the drug problems that have exploded all across the country. Now, in your opinion, Alan, why is music such a powerful tool when it comes to reaching folks who have hit rock bottom?
I mean, music causes us to just tap into another part of ourselves. It's such a great way to carry a message. And for some reason, something that's sung in a song can hit somebody differently than, you know, when someone just says something to them.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week, Alan Scott, with Found and Favored Ministries from State College, Pennsylvania. Interesting name for a ministry. Tell us the story about that.
The awesome thing about the gospel is that God seeks us out. He finds us. It says all good gifts come from the Father of light. So Him finding us is a good gift, and that gift comes from Him. So He finds us, and then He gives us what we don't deserve, a standing of being favored with Him because of what Jesus did on the cross, the fact that Jesus took every one of our faults, every one of our failures and sins, and took it into Himself, and He took that away from us, but then He gave us something. He gave us credit for His absolute perfect obedience, and He has left us in a favored standing. So it's scandalous. I mean, just the gospel that God comes and finds losers like me and takes us and puts us in a standing that we do not deserve.
Any powerful testimonies kind of stick out in your mind from lives that have been totally transformed because of Found and Favored?
At the end of 2017, we were doing an event in Culpeper County, Virginia. Culpeper County has been hit hardest, one of the highest rates of drug use and recidivism in the state of Virginia. So we were coming in, we were going to do an event. What ended up happening was the county has been hit so hard that the government has started working with the church because they don't know what else to do. So they called us up. We were scheduled to do an event in the evening. They called us up and they said, would you guys be willing to do an event during the day just for all the people that have been locked up in our prisons? And we said, yeah. So what they did is they bussed in every inmate from all of the county jails to a church. Now, typically, prisons like to keep the prisoners in the prisons, but it was so bad, they're willing to take all these prisoners out of church. I remember they're showing up in buses. There were canine units walking around the church and SWAT team, you know, to try to keep all these prisoners in. And the prisoners came walking into the church in handcuffs. They're handcuffed to themselves, you know, their hands and feet were handcuffed, but they were all handcuffed to each other. And I remember as they began walking into the church, the sheriffs began to take the handcuffs off of the prisoners. And I just saw that. It was such a powerful thing. And then I remember when we started, the prisoners were so hard. You could just see it on their faces. And as we began to minister over an hour and a half or 2 hours, the hardness began to leave. And these prisoners, as they were hearing that, you know, that there was hope for them, that God could change a life, they began to cry. I remember that day, there were about 12 of them that came to the Lord. And the sheriff's department actually made a huge change in their schedules. And they let all the prisoners stay with us after for a couple hours. It was really powerful.
That's Alan Scott from State College, Pennsylvania, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. All right, Bill, thank you very much. Hometown Heroes airs every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online anytime at fln.org/news. You can also download all our daily features at fln.org/podcast.
Well, very good afternoon to all. Here is your Family Life regional forecast. On the weather map this midday, we find the cold front that brought showers and rumbles yesterday and last night moving away, and higher pressure building in. And that spells some pleasant weather moving through the next 36 hours before the next front delivers some showers in parts of the area on Thursday. For this afternoon, there'll still be a brief shower in some parts of central New York. Otherwise, clouds, intervals of sunshine, and high temperatures in the mid-60s to the lower 70s. The stars come out tonight. We dip into the 40s and low 50s. Plenty of sunshine. Warmer tomorrow. The high in the 70s to near 80. Thursday will turn out cloudy. A couple of showers moving in. High temperatures in the mid-60s to the middle 70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Finally, at noon, survey says 7% of Americans believe chocolate milk comes from brown cows. We're not kidding. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The poll was conducted by the Innovation Center of U.S. Dairy and asked questions about the role milk plays in our daily lives. 48% of respondents weren't sure where chocolate milk came from, but 7% were sure it comes from brown cows. 16.4 million people, that's more than the population of Ohio, thought chocolate milk came from brown cows. The Washington Post linked the study to past surveys that consistently show many Americans have no idea where their food comes from. For example, a study in the 1990s found that nearly 20% of people did not know that hamburgers are made from beef. Brennan Dixon, Family Life News.
And now you know. Thank you, Brennan. That's the world we live in. Tuesday, September 24th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.